fewer than 100 yards from the South Pole, upwind from the ice runway where the ski plane lands and keeps its engines running to prevent the metal parts from freeze-locking together. Scientists monitor the air several times every day to chart the course of that inexorable change. During my visit, I watched one scientist draw the results of that day's measurements, pushing the end of a steep line still higher on the graph. He told me how easy it is, there at the end of the Earth, to see that this enormous change in the global atmosphere is still picking up speed. 2.5 years later, I slept under the midnight sun at the other end of our planet, in a small tent pitched on a 12-foot-thick slab of ice floating in the frigid Arctic Ocean. After a hearty breakfast, my companions and I travelled by snowmobiles a few miles farther north to a rendezvous point where the ice was thinner, only 3.5 feet thick, and a nuclear submarine hovered in the water below. After it crashed through the ice, took on its new passengers and resubmerged, I talked with scientists who were trying to measure more accurately the thickness of the polar ice cap, which many believe is thinning as a result of global warming. I had just negotiated an agreement between ice scientists and the US Navy to secure the release of previously top-secret data from submarine sonar tracks, data that could help them learn what is happening to the North Polar Cap.